Good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a terrific Tuesday. And I want to welcome you to episode 16 of the Bitcoin Veteran Podcast, or Space. Sorry, we're not on the podcast yet. My name is Coleman, and I will be your host this morning. I want to thank everybody who's already up here bright and early on the panel. I see Mickey, Koss, Gabelord, AC, Jason, and I see Jordan on the Operation Libertas handle. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing?
How's it going, Coleman? What's the good news today?
Hey, good morning, Terrence. I didn't see you hop up there yet. The good news is we're still not at 58K, so there's still time to stack really cheap sats. And I guess there's a debate going, which is, should be comical and interesting to see at the same time.
Yeah, I suspect Bitcoin and even the larger crypto won't even be mentioned once, which isn't a bad thing, but what do you think?
I would put money that it's not mentioned. I don't think it comes up. It would be a perfect opportunity to put either candidate on the spot with it, but I don't think it's. I don't think it comes up. As much as we like to make ourselves believe that they really care about Bitcoiners, I think outside of RFK, I think Trump's just using it as a talking point or trying to pull in votes. That's just my thought.
I think a possible exception might be if that idea of the sovereign wealth fund bubbles up. That might be just sort of a tangential way to get Bitcoin mentioned. But I think generally you're right. I think they've got bigger fish to fry at the national level at this moment.
No, and you're right, Jason. It would be a perfect opportunity for Trump to bring that up because Harris right now is VP, so she would definitely. The ball would be in her court to, so to speak, to try and get that ball moving or delay it. The odds of that being brought up, though, I think are pretty slim. But while everyone's still getting the gunk out of their eyes, refilling their coffee cups, understands the purpose of this show and what the Bitcoin veteran space is about. And it's to defend the values that our nation was founded upon. We champion decentralized, trustless systems that empower individuals and communities and eliminate any central authorities so we can advance our cause for a free and open society. We accomplish our mission by utilizing the power of Bitcoin to promote a world where every individual has the undeniable right to control their own destiny, their own assets, and their own privacy. And we do not support tyranny in any of its forms. And together, we will continue our oaths to safeguard the ideals that define us. We are veterans, we are Bitcoiners, and we are for freedom. Hoorah!
I just want to say, Coleman, your use of the term hoorah is not very inclusive for those of us who say hoorah.
Everybody wants to be a Marine, right? They just tested too high on their ASPEB score.
And so, well played.
Yeah. No, I'll make that more inclusive for you, Jordan. Sorry, I didn't want to leave you out. We do have a couple videos I want to touch on today. And if Jacob, if you don't mind getting that first video loaded up in the queue. There's some issues, or not issues, I guess there's just some real-life problems going on in Springfield, Ohio. And if anybody out in the audience or is listening is from that area, I'd like to get your insight to see what's factual and what's not. There's a lot of disinformation out there. But the first video that we have that's going to be pulled up is from a town hall meeting with an elderly lady. And she's talking about the migrants that they brought in to her city. And just a little quick background on it. The Springfield, Ohio, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, but what I found was there's about 60,000 residents there, and they brought in 20,000 Haitian migrants over the last several months. And so now they're starting to have some issues arise from this. So Jacob, if you don't mind, we'll go ahead and play this first video, and then we'll stop, kind of digress it, go over it, and then we'll play the second video that we have.
Noel, thank you. I live at 426 Northwestern Avenue. Miss Skinner, who I'm not trying to put on the spot, is my neighbor.
Just talk to me, ma'am. Thank you so much.
And I'm done with what I'm seeing. It is so unsafe in my neighborhood anymore. I have the homeless that were trying to camp out, and I have made concessions with them, and I try to help them the best I can to keep them from trying to squat on my property. But it is so unsafe. I have men that cannot speak English in my front yard screaming at me, throwing mattresses in my front yard, throwing trash in my front yard. And I can't. Look at me. I weigh 95 pounds. I couldn't defend myself if I had to. My husband is elderly. And last night, after living in this home for 45 years, he said, Noelle, guess what? It's time to pack up and move. He said, we can't do this anymore. He said, it's killing both of us mentally. I don't understand what you expect of us as citizens. I mean, I understand they're here under temporary protected status and you're protecting them. And I understand that our city services are overwhelmed and understaffed. But who's protecting us? If we're protecting them, who's protecting me? I want out of this town. I am sorry. Please give me a reason to stay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bitcoin fixes this.
Bitcoin does fix this, but it's, I don't know about y'all, but this clip and hearing this elderly lady speak really, it gives me a lot of different emotions. And before I talk about mine, I'd like to hear about everyone else's feelings and just kind of what they thought about what she had to say. Hey, Alex, I just saw you sneak up here. Good morning, sir.
Morning. I don't think Bitcoin fixes this, actually. I think maybe Bitcoin fixes this 10 or 20 years out, maybe even farther out. But in the immediate and near term, it's a definite problem, man. And Bitcoin is not going to solve it.
Yeah, not in the short term, but it's like you look at the Haitian gourd, their currency, and just for 2023, it's inflated over 40%. And so it's like, you know, who's not going to flee their borders when they can't preserve their wealth and can't honor their preferences from their hard work? But yes, Alex, you're right. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but yes.
And it's important to point it out because people who are new to Bitcoin, you know, when they hear stuff like Bitcoin fixes this, it doesn't, I think, help our mission to say it. And I mean, I know you're joking. Most of the people here know you're joking, but a new person wouldn't understand that. They'd be like, these people are freaking crazy.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point.
I think something that we can add to that also is that Bitcoin does contribute in preventing this from happening in the future, because many of the failures, of course, that are happening in Haiti that have been happening over decades are the result of their currency problems that they have. And so I think that as in a preventive sense, I do believe that Bitcoin plays a role in helping us to avoid situations like this in the future.
Yeah, I think in the long term, you know, once you get back to a sound money, a lot of the issues that we're seeing spoil up from our current financial issue is a direct result of that. So there is, but I think it was more made in tongue in cheek. You're right, Terrence.
And I mean, your original, Coleman, your question about feelings and responses and reactions to this, you know, I watched the video and I saw the look on the woman's face who was speaking to her city council. And I mean, she was a wreck. You could tell she hadn't slept. She was just a mess. This is a very real challenge that she's going through. Something that I thought was interesting that I'm just going to kind of throw in here as a preliminary observation was the comment that the city council member made, where he basically corrected her right out of the gate. You could tell he doesn't have a whole lot of patience for this. Maybe he's been listening. Maybe the city council has been listening to these complaints for a while. But there wasn't a whole lot of compassion. He said, hey, look, you know, he basically said, hey, look, lady, you just need to go ahead and talk to me. And that stood out to me right out of the gate. There wasn't a whole lot of empathy. He really didn't care. And either it was just the overwhelm, again, from the complaints that they've been receiving, or something else is going on there. But I will say that when you have 20,000 people brought into your area, It does need to be approved by somebody first. And so I would imagine that the city council had something to do with the approval of that decision being made. And so there is a responsibility that's on them for, first of all, letting it happen. And second, all the situation that they're in now. And that's not a small number of people. Now, if you brought in 20,000 people to New York City, okay, they could be absorbed probably with a greater deal of ease than in a town where in the 2020 census they had a little over 58,000. So you're looking at a population increase of about a third of your existing population, and that is going to make a dent. It is very difficult to absorb that number of people, even over the course of a few years. That's a big deal, and they're feeling it. And not only just the allocation of resources and availability of resources, but also the huge cultural shifts that are taking place. I was reading a report that was indicating some of the expenses in the education industry increased from, there was one particular expense in staffing that went from around 40 something thousand to 400 and something thousand in being able to educate the children that aren't primarily English speakers. And so
there was that report from Gabe. Sorry,
I can look it up and send it over to you.
But no, was it talking about Springfield specifically, or is it different?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that was in Spring. That was in one school system in Springfield alone. Yeah, and what they had to do is they had to hire 6 Creole-speaking educators to come into the school system to teach the influx of kids. And again, it's not the kids' problem. It's not the kids' fault. They're helpless in this situation. They're following their parents where they're being taken. But again, it's just it's just another one of the impacts and the consequences. Alex, you got your hand up?
Yeah, it's just that something that bothers me, or it's kind of been bugging me in the back of my head, is why 20,000. Why that number? Why are they all Haitians, and why did they go to that specific town? That seems way too precise, if the numbers are to be believed, for it to be just some random, whole bunch of people are entering the United States, and all of a sudden they all choose to go to this one particular town. That just seems really weird to me.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything random about it, Alex. I've been kind of digging into this morning, but there are, those 20,000 are a part of a larger group of 300,000 Haitians specifically.
Okay, the question there then is, if that is the case, what's going on here? Like, what is, like, that's a logistical operation that doesn't happen by accident. You understand what I'm saying? Like, for 20,000 people to arrive in a specific town in America out of 300,000 that are coming from Haiti, how exactly does that happen? Which then you start have to ask, you have to start asking questions about, okay, well, who's providing the logistics support? And once you know who that is, the question becomes, why are they doing this?
Yeah, there's a 0% chance that 20,000 people all just decided to migrate to one town in Ohio. I absolutely agree. So somebody made that decision, and somebody made that delivery of those individuals possible to that specific location. And that is the question that we should be asking, is who and why.
So I agree. And just give me one second. Sorry, Jordan. I agree with everything that everyone's saying. I try and look at both sides of this. I don't agree with what I'm about to say, but this was from the other side's view. The reason why they bring in such a large amount of migrants to a specific area, and it's so that it's not as easy for them to be targeted. If they bring in a smaller number, and I don't know what their number is, 20,000 does seem pretty extreme, but if they were only bringing a couple hundred, it'd be easy for other citizens of that country to run them out, city or county to run them out and cause chaos. So that was from the view from the other side, is why they bring them in. Again, I don't agree with that, but I just wanted to bring it up just to let you know what.
It's a little known fact that Haitians are big watchers of The Simpsons, and they all just wanted to go to Springfield because they thought they'd have a better life there.
Well, that woman's neighbor's last name was Skinner, like President Skinner, so Principal Skinner, which I heard the same thing, Jordan.
Okay, I'd like to go ahead and play the second video. It's not from the same council meeting. It's from a different, distinctly from a different day, but it's still talking about the same thing. So if Jordan, if you could just get that ready to go and we'll play it. This one's a little bit longer, but it's from a different viewpoint. And I think he brings up some really good points on this one as well that we're going to catch.
I think it's like kind of odd that like a guy like me has to come out from doing what I do on a daily basis to have fun, because I see what's going on in these streets and I see you guys just sitting up there in them comfy chairs and suits and like, and I'm getting out here every day and I'm broadcasting this and you guys are just sitting up there in suits or something. Like I really challenge you guys to get out here and do something. These Haitians are running into trash cans. They're running into buildings. They're running into, they flipping cars in the middle of the street. I don't know how, like, y'all can be comfortable with this. Like, I don't know, like, who's getting paid from it. I honestly feel like someone's getting paid from it in the background. You got a bunch of people on a bus getting dropped off at a gas station to come down here. I know a single mom that FaceTimed me this morning at the welfare office that really needs something. And it's nothing but immigrants over there. And I don't even want to, like, seem like I'm coming down on the immigrants, because it's the people that's bringing them down here, because wherever they're at, that's what they're used to, bro. They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them and eating them. Like, y'all get the Highway State Patrol down here every week, and then y'all get like a task force for the Highway State Patrol, and they look for guns and they look for dope and this and that and the fourth. That same people that y'all got riding up and down Limestone doing U-turns, pulling people over for blinkers and pulling people over for like going left to center and like a couple miles over. Like, y'all can take them same people, the Highway State Patrol, and you can take them in every single one of their Silver Chargers and Dodge Durangos, and y'all can take them to Sunset, and y'all can park them right over there, and y'all can teach people how to drive, since the Highway State Patrol know so much about traffic laws and know what to do in traffic. They need to, y'all pay them. They can go over there and teach these Haitians how to drive, because it's getting up. Bro, I'm getting thousands of views on these, and it's going to get bigger and it's only going to get worse. And y'all sitting up there in these chairs, y'all, all y'all need to get out here and do something. Y'all making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Y'all need to put on a t-shirt and some Crocs, and then y'all need to come out here in these streets, and y'all need to go out here and I'm out here before the police is. Like, y'all need to do something, bro. Y'all really got to stand on business. Y'all getting paid all this money just to wear a suit and sit in a chair. I think it's crazy, bro. They, like, we got to do something, bro. It's kids out here getting hurt. Like, only reason I even went on here and said something about it is because somebody told me they walking from the school and a Haitian almost ran into them. And who is getting paid? Like, how much money is y'all really getting paid, like, to bring them over here? Like, I know it's deeper than them. I know that's where they come from and that's what they do. That's their country. I don't know what they got going on over there, but they can't do that over here. And if y'all just getting paid from it and then y'all ain't doing nothing about it, I think that's super weird, bro. Y'all got to stand on business. Y'all got to really, like, step up. Like, it's lame, bro. Like, for real.
Thank you for your...
So he was a welfare office clerk. So this is where he's seeing a lot of these things. But the biggest thing I took away from that was, he's quoted, "I feel like people are getting paid for this in the background."
Yeah. So back to the whole logistics and support and motive, right? Like, what motive would somebody possibly have for sending 20,000 Haitians into a specific town? I'm curious also, like, just other things. Like, what's the general population of that county? How many sheriffs and sheriff's deputies, or how many sheriff's deputies do they have? What is the law enforcement look like? What do the numbers look like? Because I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm not saying this is what it is, but like, if your intention was to cause chaos intentionally because you wanted to disrupt some kind of voting district or something like that, you could do that by simply overwhelming the current logistical kind of human services, like law enforcement and hospitals and just all the things, right? Because if you have a sudden, I mean, let's say, just for sake of example, where I live, for example, the sheriff's department has 3,500 sheriff's deputies for a really high population. I'm not going to give you the exact number, but it's close to seven figures in people, right? How many do they have there? And can they deal with 20,000 Haitians who are in the park cutting the heads off of ducks and eating them? And here's the second part, and I'll shut up. You know, as Americans, we have to pay for licenses to do everything, it seems like. You can't wipe your ass in this country without permission from the government. You have to have duck passes, stamps for this, that, and every other thing. Like, you know, it's just ridiculous. Yet, how do you enforce that on 20,000 people when you have this tiny little law enforcement force compared to the number of people? I just don't see how that's even possible. So that'd be a really great way to cause chaos.
I don't want to overlook like chaos agents or foreign powers trying to meddle in maybe destabilizing America. But, like, those are all legitimate possibilities. But I think Occam's razor is staring us all in the face and we kind of keep ignoring it. It is the biggest way to get inflation under control is to control wages and keep them down or lower them. That is the number one way that a government can get inflation under control when they keep printing like crazy. So the government is completely incentivized in collusion with big business to bring in all of these people to drive down wages. When you're having to compete with three Haitians for the same job who are going to take it for less, that is going to cause inflation to go down because you control the wages. In order for people to continue to get ahead or maintain where they were from 4 years ago, they need their wages to increase. And the government and big business does not want that. So, I mean, to me, it's just like this is how like Bitcoin fixes this in the longer term, is that the powers that be are incentivized to do this. They don't really care if your neighborhood is destabilized or the country in general is destabilized, as long as their bottom line keeps increasing. And that's, to me, is like the most obvious thing staring us all in the face. There doesn't really have to be some cabal of people working in the background in a smoky room. It's just, that's the thing that makes most sense.
It's an interesting take. I've never thought of it in that manner when you see these headlines and you dig into it.
And why is it that that's never like addressed? Like, okay, maybe that's just my theory. Maybe that's not the whole picture. Maybe it's not even accurate. But that is a fact that is one way to keep inflation down is to control wages. But how come that's never discussed anywhere? And instead, we're all pit into these corners of either for or against immigration. And the whole talk is just about immigration. It's never talking about what that does to wages, what that does to our economy.
It's easier to hide what you're doing then by doing it that, if you can assure different.
And there's some interesting effects that come from all of that too. And that is you increase the number of people that are moving from middle class to lower class. And the poverty rate goes up at the same time because, I mean, you've got, the people that are going to be not competing for these low paying jobs anymore, you're going to have to do something. And it doesn't mean they're going to go out and find a high paying job. They might just have to become more dependent upon government programs. And dependency on government programs is most definitely a goal of those that are administering and creating and implementing and being paid for running those government programs. So dependency on government, I mean, that's, you know, that is the goal of any large Leviathan style of government, which is exactly what we have. And that's a goal because when you're dependent upon them, of course, first of all, you know, they get to decide what you do with your money. They get to decide what you do with your time. They decide what kind of food you eat. They decide your medical care. And then ultimately, their actions decide the way that you are going to vote. And I mean, at that point, you're under entire, complete, and total control. Yeah, look at what's happening. As well as speech is concerned, they're funneling people into the desired channels of communication that will be approved for you to use. And if you're using something that is not an approved channel of communication, well, first you're going to be silenced, and then eventually, I believe, you're going to be criminalized for it. So again, it comes down to control. And we can expect to see more of things that remove our power and shift more power in their direction. I believe that this is just one of those things.
Absolutely, Gabe. I like that. Well, I don't like that, but I like your viewpoint on that. And then another thing to address, you know, depending on how far you want to go down this rabbit hole, is if they're bringing them in not for to decrease wages, but they're trying to do it to help swing elections in certain cities or states, what happens after the 5th? What the government has no incentive to have these people or pay for them anymore, as they serve no purpose if their only purpose was to vote one way. So I think the next question we need to really start looking at is what happens on November 6th with all these migrants after they've served their purpose.
Well, and to kind of support what like Alex was saying, as far as the like destabilization effects, other countries have done this. Like Russia has done this with neighboring countries where they send in criminals and stuff, like basically empty out their prisons and send them into neighboring areas. Basically, you come back, we're going to kill you. You go over there and just do whatever, and they know it'll have a destabilizing effect. If you look at like crime rates around the world are kind of going down and ours are going up, I think also kind of supports that that's happening to some degree.
Yeah. So what is everybody's call of action? What's everyone's plan to help counter this? Does anybody want to go with that?
Well, for me, it's just a wake up call. You know, I don't know how many of you guys are in big cities versus small towns, but it's like, you got to start thinking about how to prevent this happening to your small town, because you don't want your kids being raised in this like crazy environment. So I'd say start getting involved with your city council, go to the meeting. And if you're in a small town and say, hey, are you aware of this situation? What's being done to prevent it here? And really just trying to figure out who exactly is involved, if it's companies importing them with government programs, whether it's, I don't know, we got to just figure out how they did it and make sure it doesn't happen to your town.
Yes, but like we mentioned yesterday, sometimes that can be a little bit harder to tackle when you're trying to get a whole community or town to get on board. I think the simplest solution, and everybody should be doing it, regardless of what happens after or during the election, is start with your neighbors and your local community, like the 6 people that are around your closest to your home. What are their views? How do they feel about things? Are they on the same page as you? And if they are, do they know how to defend themselves? I've brought all of our local neighbors to go shooting, and I've given them pointers, just because if something seriously happens and we're by ourselves, I want to make sure that if someone's watching a certain side or sector, I know that they know how to operate and they know how to do things. And again, I'm not calling for war or chaos, but just make sure, like, you know that everyone's able to handle themselves.
And you know where the weaknesses are, like, oh, I know that person's not that great, or they were, you know, against all this learning how. So I got to keep an eye on that sector of the perimeter.
Yes, I know one of our families, I always give him a hard time. I'm not going to call him out, but I know that his only role is going to be loading ammo or just passing ammo out.
We need logisticians.
Yes. Before we start moving on to the next topic, does anybody else have anything that they'd like to cover on this? AC, Mickey, Terrence. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the next talking point. And I think it's important to mention that there is another budget that is due at the end of the month. So the U.S. government has until October 1st to decide on a budget for the next fiscal year. And if it doesn't happen, the government gets shut down and all the essential services are continued. I believe they already have a resolution set, but it looks like Biden tends to veto it due to some of the provisions that the Republicans have put in there, such as voter ID requirements, birth certificates, and passports to register to vote. I think the Republicans are missing a really big opportunity to go ahead and corner and help Trump win a segment of the vote by mentioning Senator Lummis's Bitcoin bill. Go ahead and put that in there. And if they veto that part out, then you know exactly where their stance is. And I'd like to get anybody's thoughts on that. Y'all are a tough crowd this morning.
Yeah, that's why I usually point fingers at people. This is one thing that I've learned. You know what it reminds me of? It's like, you guys ever remember taking first aid training? When you take first aid training, you know, when there's an accident, like part of that training is you literally point at somebody and say, hey, what's your name? You know, and they say their name. You say, you are going to go immediately and go call the cops or call an ambulance or do whatever. And you literally select people to volunteer. This is super common human behavior, where if it's like, you know, I mean, we all know this for the military too, right? You know, it's like, you know, there's some objective that has to get done and they're like, who wants to volunteer? And like, nobody moves or says a word. Except, you know, you see it in movies sometimes where the first rank all moves backwards except for Gabe Lord.
Yeah, I think Texas Toast had it right there. Voluntold. So who wants to be voluntold to speak on this?
But okay, it's not voluntolding them.
you know what Navy stands
for. Go ahead, Texas.
Never again volunteer yourself.
It sounded like you said never again volunteer yourself. That's what Navy stands for.
That's what he said, yeah.
Okay. I thought it was just the Women's Department of the Marine Corps. That was a shout out to anybody in the Navy there. All right, well, moving on. I think something else going into a little bit of politics is the debate is going to be happening tonight. It's 8:00 Central Time, 9:00 Eastern on ABC. I'm not one for just sitting down engaging in politics, but I do think that everybody should spend a little time and try and tune into this, for the reason being no one has seen Harris do an unscripted live speech since she has committed herself or been voluntold that she was going to be president, depending on how you want to look at that. So I want to go around and just play a little bit of a mediator here. And Terrence, I'm going to put you up first. If you are Trump or Harris, what is one question that you're going to ask on the debate stage?
What's a question that I'm going to ask if I'm Trump or Harris?
Correct. You're going to ask one question if you're Trump to Harris, or if you want to take the Harris side.
What's
one question you're going to ask to Trump?
Well, if I'm Trump, I guess I would ask Harris, you know, why are all the things that you say you're going to fix? How come you are currently in the administration to fix those? So what have you been currently doing to fix those? Like, why are you waiting? And let me think. If I'm Harris, what would I ask Trump?
You didn't have to take the other side of it. I just wanted to give you the option.
Okay, I'll just take that side. Yeah, let me think that through, though. I'll come up with something. Go on to the next person. You're up, Jason.
Ooh. Yeah, I think if I was Trump asking Harris questions, I have a hard time not having my sort of strategy brain hat on. So Trump's got to really focus on the border issues. I don't think that's, by the way, the format, right? There's a moderator who's going to be asking questions. But to just, you know, accept the premise of the question, if I was Trump, I would try to nail Harris on the border, because it's everything that, you know, it's in the news cycle. Everybody's talking about, whether it's Springfield or Venezuelan gangs taking over hotels in El Paso. That is top of mind. And I think, as long as I'm riffing here the other direction, I think if I'm Harris, I'm trying to make the base, Trump's base, a little wobbly, and I might go after the I don't know, something. For some reason, the vaccine sort of bubbled up in my head right there, because it is one of the weaknesses of the tail end of his presidency. Who's next?
Yeah, that would be a good question to get on Trump, although I think they would be cornered into, because Biden said there'd be a winner of death if he didn't take the vaccine. So
yeah, no, it definitely sort of tars Biden as well. But I think there's something there. But yes, go ahead.
No, I like
Trump
it. I
remedied that a lot with his pick of RFK.
Go ahead, Texas. I want to go ahead and answer the question.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, he remedied a lot of that attack with his pickup of RFK on his team too, because he's been a staunch critic of the whole thing. So hopefully that mitigates it a little.
I think you're right. That's a good point. Also, Trump is the first person to throw, loyalists and non-loyalists alike under the bus. And so he would probably just, set up Fauci for target practice. You know, they told me it was a vaccine. It was going to save lives.
I don't think he'll do it. I think it's actually one of Trump's weaknesses right now, but he needs to take advantage of being the non-establishment or anti-establishment candidate. He's kind of screwing himself on that one for some reason. But I would ask Harris, like, why is she so in bed with the current establishment and doubling down on these bad economic policies and these migrant policies? Why isn't she doing anything about those and position himself as the anti-establishment candidate? I think that's what he has going for him. I'd also add in, like, why are all these former Democrats coming to me and there aren't any Republicans jumping ship coming to you? I would try to frame it in that way, but I don't think that Trump will, for whatever reason. He seems to be acting like he's going to do a lot of establishment-y things, and I see that as being like his biggest weakness.
No, I think he might address that first part of your question. I think he will ask that question, but you're right. I don't think he's going to get into the latter of it. Gabe Lord, you're next, sir. What question are you asking?
Well, I mean, I think this is a question that either one could ask the other, but I think I'd probably enjoy seeing Trump ask her. Not that they're there for my entertainment, but, I mean, who are we kidding? I mean, it is a freaking circus. I think it would be interesting to have him ask her what her plan would be to ensure a smooth transition of power when he wins. Just to see how she would respond to that. Because I think that there are perception in many people of the, I guess you could say, the way the transition of power happened on that day in January, a few years ago. There are still a lot of people that see things a certain way on that. And I think that a lot of it is false, obviously, as the evidence will indicate. But I think that it'd be a good question to ask. And then also to ask, not only, if she doesn't win, then ask her, if she does win, then, what does it look like? What is her plan to work with the people that her, group, her side, her whatever, have been so, I don't know, what's the word, filled with animosity against? How do you move forward from action that is as nasty as this one has been? I mean, you've got a candidate that was shot in the freaking ear, that they have gone after with every single piece of legal ammunition that they could find, and it's still ongoing. It's happening right now. This has got to be one of the dirtiest elections that's ever been. So, how do you pick up the pieces? Because you're going to have half the country that's real happy and half the country that's very unhappy. Excuse me. And the possibility for unrest, I would say, is really high, no matter what happens. And so how do you, how's she going to manage that? How's she going to, I guess, in political words, how are you going to bring the nation back together after this election takes place, whether she wins or whether she loses? Because the way that she behaves afterward is going to be extremely important. So I'd be interested to hear that discussion.
That's a great question. I like it. And I hope that does get asked. Going through the road, Texas Toast, you're next, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in and out, so I don't know if this was brought up, but I mean, these debates, they want to highlight the differences if it's going to benefit them. And obviously, crypto and Bitcoin is the one thing that really sets them apart. So I would just want to question her on what her policy is and what it's going to look like, because I haven't heard anything. I don't know if she's put anything out there specifically, but I hear a lot about round tables with a bunch of Rokana and all these people, but nothing coming out of her mouth about how she's gonna incubate the industry. So I'd like.
I don't see that coming up. I would bet money against it, actually. Like, it's important to us, but I don't think it's a big enough issue for them to even talk about it.
I agree. It would be nice, but yeah, there's almost a zero chance of that happening. Alex, do you want to ask your question?
I don't really have a good one. I think that they're largely already been asked in the rhetoric that you see all the time. I think Gabe's question was really good. I mean, I really don't know what Kamala could ask to Trump that would solidify the case that someone should vote for her, quite honestly. I mean, not trying to be mean about it. I just don't know what she could ask him. My first instinct was to be to make fun of his hair or something. I don't know, which probably is completely ineffective. But I mean, I don't know what the hell else she's going to do. Hunter.
Yeah, she'll probably just paint him as a dictator and bring up all the, you know, times he's been convicted as a felon and all the same stuff we've all heard before. But
same stuff.
I think I'd like to see Trump call her out a little bit on her economic policies. You know, this whole price control, price fixing, you know, that kind of ends up leading down the road of communism. I'd like to hear what she has to say about that and get her called out on that.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be brought up in one way or another. AC, you're left, sir.
Yeah. Just to kind of tie some of the conversations together a little bit, Jordan, you mentioned earlier the immigrants. I posted an image to the Nest about non-native born Americans and the hiring that's taken place over the past couple of years. So food for thought that kind of supports your previous argument. As far as questions for the debate, I think a lot of it's already been covered or mentioned. Probably one surprising to me in a room full of Bitcoiners is no mention of taxes or potential taxes on unrealized gains. And then what is the stance for both parties really on their perspectives on a CBDC?
Yeah, I like that. And then I'll go last. I got to cheat a little bit because I knew which question I was going to ask, and something I would bring up no matter if I just had to completely bypass the question that was asked to me is, if I was Trump, I would ask Harris, at what point did you realize that Biden was unfit to be in office? Because up until the point that his thing was leaked, you had supported him and said he was completely mentally fit to run and then turn on a dime. So what caused that change?
That's a good one. Put her on the spot.
Yeah, that's probably the best question next to asking her if her drinking problem is going to prevent her from running the country.
Well, then you can also pivot into like either she has to say something like, oh, no, he's fine, blah, 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 which just makes her look stupid. Or she has to say something about, yeah, you know, he's suffering some mental decline, whatever. She has to admit to something, and then it can be like, so you're leaving him in office? Like, clearly you're not fit for office. So it's kind of like he's got her either way. That would be an amazing question.
I got a question. Do you guys think that he should focus just in on Kamala, or should he pick some low-hanging fruit and talk about the VP, Walson, you know, his radical left crap that he's done and stolen valor, and just kind of put that out on the record so people can research that on their own time? You think it's worth mentioning that, going on that attack?
If it was me, I would just focus on the part that she's not doing any live discussions and long length interviews. Like Trump, you have to hand it to him. Although if you've heard one of his long free speeches, you've heard them all. He says the same things, but at least he's getting out there and talking, and people are hearing his talking points. You have no idea what Harris really thinks other than what's on the paper in front of her. So that's what I would really hit home on, is why aren't you doing this?
Yeah, something that's going to be wild is apparently she's been working with, she's been working with a Trump impersonator to like doing mock debates with this person. So I guess they've got
Shane Gillis.
Yeah, so I guess it's like some guy dressed up like an Oompa Loompa with a toupee or something, and he's yelling mean things at her. But yeah, she's been doing this. It's going to be fascinating to watch how she really performs when the pressure is on. It's so going to be wild.
Instead of preparing for any policy ideas and selling herself, she's just planning on how to counter the Trumpisms.
It's entirely about the performance, and that's exactly what they did. You know, they have people that watch all the tape. I mean, these people are experts on Trump at this point, and so they've given this person a script. And I mean, I'm sure it's a great actor, and he, you know, it says mean things to her and does all that. And as far as the VP thing, I just want to bring this up real quick. There is a VP debate, VP presidential candidate debate on October the 1st. So we can look forward to that, and then those two gentlemen can talk about their military records, which I know is going to come up. So that should be an interesting conversation on October the 1st.
Does anybody know? I saw Trump post he was going to speak with Waltz's family, and supposedly everyone outside of Waltz is a Trump supporter. Can anybody validate that claim?
That would be funny, though, wouldn't it? Two things quick. Shane Gillis would be the best person she should be using. She should definitely be using Shane Gillis. If she's not, that's a definite mistake. The second thing is, I'm curious what you guys think. Is Kamala going to crush him?
I think she surprises people. I think everyone's kind of looking.
Really?
I think everyone expects her just to completely tank, and I think she holds her own for the most part. I don't think that she blows them out of the water, but I think she's able to hold her own, partly because of where it's being hosted on ABC.
I think she tries to do the Trump stuff right back at him, which is probably why she's got this impersonator. She's probably going to try to go at him like he goes at people, but he's just not. By it. I mean, you could tell him he's got a small dick and he just doesn't care. He's not fazed by it and he'll just throw it back out. So I don't think it'll work for her. But the only thing that I could see going in her favor is Trump kind of doing what he did with Biden 4 years ago and just continuing to overtalk Biden instead of letting him fall on his face. It seems like whoever's the one talking is doing worse. So this is one time where Trump might do better if he just shuts up.
You know, that's a really good point, because they changed up the rules, because when he debated Biden, they muted the non-speaking candidate's microphone while the other one was talking to prevent the interruptions. And you better believe the Democratic Party, they saw how terribly that went for Biden, and they know that she's a dipshit and it's going to go the exact same way for her if you don't make her shut up. Sorry, that was kind of rude, but it's true. And so I think it's going to be interesting. And I agree, Coleman. I think that she will have some moments where she surprises. And I think that she's probably going to come on pretty strong, because she's going to want to look like like this man is not going to keep her down. And it wouldn't surprise me if she did. I don't remember exactly which conversation or debate it was she had back in the day where she said, "Excuse me, I'm talking." And she, you know, basically shut it down, like, "You're not going to stop me. Hear me roar." And I do believe she's going to play that angle of the female person of color who will not be told to be quiet, because obviously she has that in her toolbox. And I definitely see her using that to set him up, to confirm that he is this misogynistic, racist, you know, this, all these terrible things that they say that he is. So they're going to want to put that little snare out for him in hopes that he's going to step into it. But again, bottom line, I think that she will have a couple of moments where, and she's practicing those power plays where she's going to have her couple of little victories where she gets some points. But I think overall she's going to walk away from it looking pretty dumb.
That brings up a really good question, Gabe. Like, which Kamala are we going to get? Are we going to get, like, the DA? Are we going to get, like, the dumb VP? Or are we going to get the Indian, or, like, the ghetto Hills Kamala?
Yeah, is she going to tell us how to make collard greens in the bathtub? You know, what's going to happen there? And I'm just hoping that Tulsi Gabbard is sitting down in the audience, mean mugging her, like, dragging her finger across her throat. And so that'll be fun to see.
And in case people didn't know, Trump's team brought in Tulsi Gabbard specifically for this debate to help prep him, because she completely clobbered her in the last one when she was a Democrat. And it is Waltz's family is from Nebraska, and they're all wearing shirts. I put it up in the nest where they support Trump. It's Waltz's for Trump.
Hey, quick question, Gabe, what mic do you use? Like, you, I mean, you and Alex both sound incredible. Just
that's
the audio
just
quality.
A sultry voice.
Is it just your voice? Yeah, is this just, are you just talking on your phone?
No, see, my voice just carries to wherever the listener is. And so wherever you are, it's just being projected there. That in this cheap headset thing that I got off Amazon.
But you're just connected from that headset to your phone, or are you on desktop?
No, it's plugged into my phone.
Okay, copy that. All right, back to regular programming. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, man, I'll send you over a link if you're interested, man.
Yeah, please do. I've played with different mic setups, and most of them are pretty crappy. So I literally just put my phone on speaker, and that tends to sound the best.
Nice. It's pretty good, actually.
And now we know that he thinks we all sound like crap.
Well, you, Jordan, we hear you, but yeah, compared to like Gabe and Alex's mics, you're a little bit muffled. You're not as bad as Texas Toast. Boy, that guy is toast.
A little staticky in the background. Really quick, I just saw Lisa Huff in the audience. If you're available, we'd love to hear your take on the topics today. And while we have this little lull going on right now, I'd like to just give a quick thank you to our partners, Solo Satoshi, decentralized the mining. Run your own Bitcoin miner at your home. It's really simple to set up. I set mine up over the weekend. It's really, really easy. Check them out, solosatoshi.com. Black Sheep Ammo, they were the ones who donated 6,000 rounds of ammo to us for the Bitcoin Nashville Range Day. Check them out at blacksheepammo.com. And Punchplate, I see you out there in the audience. Good morning, gentlemen. Make sure that you keep your seed phrase on a metal plate. Paper, it gets wet, you can't use it. If it, there's a fire, it's going to burn up. Check them out at punchplate.com. Good morning, Lisa.
Hello, friends. I'm so sad I just got here. I know y'all are about to wrap it up, but what have y'all been talking about today?
We're talking about the presidential debate tonight.
I cannot wait for this.
We were trying to figure out what are the best questions that they should ask each other and what are the best tactics that they can use, and like, how's that going to go?
I think that Trump should just defer all of his time to her and just be like the most polite gentleman in the entire world. You know, like when the people in Congress are like, and I defer the rest of my time to the generous speaker from wherever. That's what he should be doing. He should just be lips sealed, smiling, charming, silent.
That is probably the easiest, well, maybe not for Trump, but the easiest.
The hardest for Trump, but the best strategy possible, right? That must be incredibly difficult for that guy.
This reminds me of some wise wisdom I once heard. Sometimes the hardest thing is to do nothing.
Which is basically describes Bitcoin to a T, right? Just don't F it up.
I mean, you do need to buy it. You do need to buy the Bitcoin, but just don't do anything with it after that besides get it into safe custody.
That's right. You need to buy it. You need to take custody. You can stamp your seeds on a steel plate and make sure that's somewhere not in your general vicinity. And then you just need to lay and wait like a coiled little snake waiting to, you know, for the system to implode.
Stamped on a steel plate from Punch Plate.
Exactly right.
Lisa, yesterday we saw Ella in the audience. She was there the whole time. We kept taunting her to come on up. We mentioned her name several times. Nope, nothing. She just sat there and stared at us.
Oh my God, she told me she was
in the library.
Yeah, she was in the library.
Oh, she was in the library. Yeah, that sounds right.
She's being very studious.
Well, she is taking like 21 hours this semester and writing her thesis. And if you can believe, I know you can believe this. I think she accepted a job the other day. Like someone offered her a job and she was like, what do you think, Mom? Like, I think you're taking 21 hours and you're doing your thesis. You might have enough on your plate. She's like, I know, but I need to stack sats.
Like, wasn't she already over at Galaxy, or that was just an internship?
Yeah, she did an internship at Galaxy this summer. And she'll go back there in September, a little more than a year from now. She'll start full time. But Another Bitcoin company has offered her a paying position during the school year this year. So, yeah, so she's going to do that.
Welcome to the stage, Berkshire Bitcoiners. Good morning.
That's when you press the mic, Berkshire, and say, hey, guys.
Right about now is when I would be booting them off the stage, too.
A little technical.
Pocket dial. It's a pocket dial. I didn't mean to do that. Apologies.
You didn't mean a request to come up?
No, it's an accidental.
No worries. Your accent is fantastic.
Well, we're getting to the top of the hour. I'd like to go around and see if anyone has any last-minute comments or anything they'd like to hit on before we wrap this up.
I just want to point out that Peter Schiff, apparently he did this debate with Jack Mahlers, and he actually said that Bitcoin isn't scarce because you can divide it into Satoshis.
So we're back at this talking point again.
He studied fractions from the Infinite Pizza Ladies.
It's unfortunate because, I mean, how dumb are you? Like, oh my gosh, I actually thought Peter Schiff was pretty smart. I mean, in ways, but damn, that's pretty bad.
I think he is. I think he's just dug himself into this hole, and now he's that guy. He's the guy that's only for gold and Bitcoin's for fools, and I don't ever see him changing. I just think that's his thing.
I mean, I don't see him changing either, but I mean, just the math mistake of thinking that because you can divide a Bitcoin into 100 million machines, that somehow creates more Bitcoin. That is just so dumb.
I agree with you 100%, Alex. I don't get it. But I think he's smarter than we give him credit for. And again, everybody talks about it. And we're going to talk about it for the next, day or two. And so that just gets some more follows and likes from the anti-Bitcoin crowd.
That's okay. It's a foil. Everybody needs a foil.
Well, you know what, though? I think I'm kind of tired of talking about people like Peter Schiff and really giving them the out that maybe they just don't understand, or they're trying to simp for more followers or attention, et cetera. It's like, when can we just call this what it is? You are a fucking threat to national security if you are against Bitcoin, no matter what country you live in. Because if you are supportive of any type of a regime that takes down a free market, you are a threat to your own country. And, national security, you guys are experts. But, looking from the outside, it really seems like it's diplomacy, standing military, and your economy. And so if you are, anti-free market, anti-economy, what are you even working for? We need to quit dividing this into, I think I've often attributed his ego is just too big. He can't see Bitcoin because it's his ego. No, I really think he's siding with the devil. You're just choosing to be evil. You're not serving a higher purpose, which is, I think, what I was preaching about the other day when you guys allowed me up on stage. We need to just call people like this out. You are literally just serving the dark side. Fine. You'll settle that score somewhere down the road. Someone will settle that score for you. But Bitcoin is the light, right? Free markets, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, the ability for every human on earth to, communicate freely via money that's free money. This is the way. I don't know. I'm kind of, now that I don't work for a company, I feel like I'm going to just be much more verbal about what my thoughts are and quit giving people the out that it's just their ego or they made a bad decision. I'm just going to call them out and say, no, you are literally working for the devil. And that's awesome.
Does that mean you've been holding back on us?
I have totally held back because I've worked for companies and I've had people tell me, you can't post, I posted something about Social Security. This is, by the way, not Unchained, but, I posted something about Social Security and what a scam it was. And the team I worked with was like, you can't post that. That's anti-American. That's anti-government, blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
Whoa.
Oh my God, what? I can't believe you're censoring me.
That is crazy, first of all. Like, the just putting those two things in the same sentence, that if you're anti-government, you're somehow anti-American, that is some hardcore brainwashing that those people have been subject to, because that is sounds about as backwards as it's possible to be. Like,
I'm telling you, it's the truth. I mean,
speaking
I
your mind is anti-American.
Well, exactly.
That's in the category of we've got to toss the Constitution out and start from scratch because something, something racism.
There's a lot of people who really think the Constitution is a failed structure.
Yeah, my daughter is in college, and I was a little surprised to hear her say that you know, we should consider rewriting the Constitution. I'm like, what class did you hear that in? And I didn't get a straight answer on that. I think she was just trying to test out something that she'd heard in a, you know, in a conversation. And I immediately shut that shit down. I mean, it's an interesting academic exercise to sort of look at different pieces, but my whole body recoils in revulsion from the idea of it.
Yeah, that's definitely alarming. That's not just a professor just trying to do that. That sounds like it's testing the grounds, testing the waters, planting the seed.
And at the same time, I think it's important for us to not veer away from that type of discourse, for us to be able to have those types of conversations at least. And it's like you were saying, Lisa, we're in this place now where if you talk about, even just talk about certain things, then there can be such a strong reaction from other people. And I see a lot of you guys, people that know me know that I'm on LinkedIn. Yeah, it's the Boomer Network, but I'm in it. And so I'm not a boomer, but I am on their network. And so you see a lot of people on there that even in their profile, it says, you know, opinions are my own, or posts are my own, you know, not affiliated with my company. Well, that's bullshit. Okay. If you belong to an organization, there's a reason why you say you belong to it. Okay. Because in some aspect, they're paying you and they own you. And when you speak to, in some regard, for them. And if you're not doing it intentionally, that's just the way that it's going to be seen. But the fact remains, you know, there are consequences to people's actions, and those consequences sometimes need to be called out. And it's not just the fact of, you know, people like Schiff and other players and never mind, I'm not going to use those words, but I'm trying to maintain some level of professionalism here. But all these other assholes that are out there saying what they're saying with no consequence, that has to end. Okay, they're not just making mistakes. They're not just uninformed. They know better. And when they're not being called out, and when they're not being forced to acknowledge what they're saying and the impact that they're having and the damage that they are doing to us. I mean, they're literally taking our time away from us on a broad, massive. Okay, and I'm not recommending that anybody take action that's going to be you know, damaging to people physically in any sense. That's not what I'm saying, but it does need to be called out, and people do need to be held accountable for their part.
What do you mean by being held accountable, though? See, this is the thing. This is that when you're talking about free speech, right? They should be able to say whatever the hell they want to say, and whether they disagree with it or not has nothing to do with whether they can say it.
Yeah, like, and
the thing that we need to get back to is, as humans in general, is just taking personal responsibility for our ability to discern the truth or not.
Absolutely.
And on the news the other day, and she was like, you know, I'm paraphrasing it, but she was like, Elon Musk has lost his privileges. He's way out of line because, you know, you've got this social media platform that's just got no oversight. People are in there talking about all kinds of stuff that I don't agree with, essentially. And it's like, yeah, that's the whole freaking point, man. And it's like, you don't have to agree with it. I don't give a crap if Peter Schiff is out there being an idiot, because he is. Like, that's just dumb. Like, saying you can create credibility, and if people want to listen to him, I mean, that's on them. And I think there's nothing wrong with people saying what they're saying. We all just have to figure out, you know, what's the truth, and get better at that, because we're not very good at it anymore as a species.
No, it's true. And people get offended more easily, it seems. I don't know if it even seems that way. It just is. And so, yeah. And my comments about accountability were specifically those who are involved in policies that have furthered the path that we are on that has been so damaging. Yeah, of course. I mean, free speech, people are going to say what they're going to say, and I think that they should be. Be ready to be tested by the fire if they're saying something that is not agreed upon on a broader scale. And it goes for everybody. But the reactions that people have to quickly cancel and blame and mute other people for saying something that might not be as popular or along with the narrative, I think we can continue to see that continue to happen.
I'm of the belief that to fix these issues, you need to have an extremely small government or separate the states. I think it's too big. There's too many moving parts, and it's designed to make sure that no one's held accountable. You saw it during the Trump assassination, I forget her name, but she was able to point to different people and deflect any blame.
That's also just bad leadership, but I agree. Decentralization moving into the future is absolutely imperative for the human race to continue to thrive at this point.
Absolutely. So we went a little bit over, guys and girls. So I want to go ahead and wrap it up here. I want to thank everybody for coming on stage and everybody in the audience. Tom Tabor, I see you out there. Randy K, Death and Bitcoin, everybody up on stage. Hunter, AC, Jordan, Gabe Lord, Jason, Terrence, Alex, and Lisa. And thank you for Jacob for doing everything in the background. I really appreciate everybody tuning in. Make sure you catch us tomorrow morning. We'll be doing the same thing at 9 o'clock Central Time. And we'll be doing it the rest of the week as well, Monday through Friday. Check out the Bitcoin Veterans podcast tonight. We're going to have a special guest, Alex Svetsky, will be joining. That'll be starting at 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern. It'll be a really good interview.
And it's going to be way better than the presidential debates, I promise.
Yes.
It's going to be the best.
Make sure
you can record the debate and watch it later, but you're going to want to watch the BV podcast live.
100%. And make sure that you get on the mission. If you guys are a veteran, please reach out to us, send us a direct message, and we will be more than happy to get you connected with one of our extended communities of 600 vets and growing. So that'll be a wrap for today. Again, thank you everybody who joined, who listened, who's had it on the background just to cancel out that voice in your head. Really appreciate it. We will see you all tomorrow morning, and go crush it.